Be honest with me for a sec. Does the mere mention of tech automation send cold shivers down your spine and make your palms break out in cold sweat? Maybe you don't see yourself as a tech-savvy entrepreneur. Or maybe you feel like as a solopreneur or a small team, automations aren't a priority and can be put off for later. Well, my friend, I'm here to break it to you. Even solopreneurs need tech automations. Actually, let me rephrase that. Especially solopreneurs need tech automations. If they want to have life outside their business, that is. Actually, one of the first things I do with my clients as an online course consultant is moving them away from manual processes or from launching manually over and over again into creating scalable sound systems that will allow them to concentrate on what matters and generate income 24/7. Now, I'm not going to go into too much detail on how I do that here because I do have an entire free training that goes into detail on that. And if tech automation for online courses sound a little bit like hocus pocus for you right now, make sure to check it out. The link is in the show notes below. But back to the topic of today's episode. If you don't want to do manual work over and over again and want to actually save time and enjoy your business, then tech automations are a must. And let me assure you, they do not have to be a nightmare and they don't have to be complex and really hard for you to do. And if you want to find out how this can become your reality, listen on. Welcome to the Launch Society podcast, your blueprint for creating, launching, and scaling the online business of your dreams. I'm your host, Anastasia Ushakova, online course consultant with experience in managing multiple seven-figure courses and orchestrating marketing campaigns that resulted in six-figure days. In today's episode, I'm joined by Mikli Feria Jorge, a tech and automation strategist who helps business owners take care of their business. Pun very much intended. She's been designing, building, and managing tech automations for six, seven, and even eight-figure businesses for the last 5 years, and her previous clients describe her as a real tech wizard. Now grab a caffeinated beverage of your choice and get ready to find out how to turn your business into a well-oiled time-saving machine. I'm talking about strategies that will have your business running smoother than a freshly waxed surfboard. Now, as you're listening to this episode, I'd love to hear what your biggest takeaway is. Make sure to tag me in your stories at @itsanastasiaushakova or DM me with your insights. I'd love to hear what you enjoyed most. Okay, let's jump right in. Mikli, welcome to the podcast. I'm so happy that you are my guest today. We've chatted previously before, and I was so inspired by your entrepreneurial journey. So for the listeners who don't know you yet, tell us a little bit more about how you ended up in your field. So you studied psychology, you worked as a VA. How did you get into tech and automations in the first place?
It started with a book. In 2016. So I was like, okay, I need to make a little extra money. I have to pay some tuition. So what's an easy way to make money? And I thought self-publishing a book for some reason. So I said, maybe I'll write, self-publish, market, and sell a book from scratch. So it was called I Love You, I Love Chicken Nuggets and Other Tales of Motherhood. The book launch did what it was supposed to. You know, I was able to pay money for the tuition, but I was like, okay, you know, it was a $600 success story. But now, like, now I'm out of friends to sell things to. Good thing I picked up, like, all of these skills along the way because I set up my own email sequences and I made my own website and all of that. I messaged a Facebook group. I used myself as my own portfolio and case study and asked them, it's like, hey, does anybody need help with any of these things? People said yes. And it started from there. Being a VA was such a great playground because I got to like get my hands in all the areas of a business. I was doing graphics, I was doing all sorts of things. So I had my hands in like all different aspects of a business. And so naturally I was able to kind of see what I was more inclined toward. And kind of slowly I started narrowing down my focus or niching down into tech and automations. I was a tech VA for a while. And after that, I said, okay, maybe it is time to graduate. And after a couple of years, and as a tech VA especially, I was like, okay, it's time. I'm going to come out as a tech and automation strategist to the world. And now here I am.
I'd love to stop on one thing for a moment. You mentioned that you just sort of picked up all the skills on your own while you were launching your book. And I feel like this is such a big one for entrepreneurs, especially for the ones who are struggling with imposter syndrome, is that they think, well, I'm not officially certified in something. Well, I haven't completed like this certification or this course or this program. Could you tell us a little bit more detail? You're self-taught in tech and automations, arguably one of the most complicated fields there is to entrepreneurship. So how did you go about self-teaching yourself all of these things?
Good question. In the beginning, it was just about kind of like, what was the outcome that I wanted? I wanted a way to make $600 in 2016. I decided on the book. I was like, by hook or by crook, I'll go and learn. So, well, maybe one is desperation. No, I'm kidding. Let that not be the message I said. But eventually it became about like following my interests. I was so blessed to have a lot of clients and mentors who gave me the chance to learn, who gave me the opportunities to learn by feeding me puzzles and making it okay for me to make mistakes. I think that was it. Imposter syndrome was a big thing when I started, but I also talked to myself a lot, like, I don't have to be great. As a VA, I don't have to be great at graphics or copy or design. I just have to do it as well as or a little better than my clients. If I can do it the way that they do it, they'll pay me. And just those teeny weeny like things, like I think my confidence would get built the more that I do and the more that I try. So giving myself those little stepping stones to do and try, they add up.
I love this. I love when you said, you know, you don't have to be the greatest in the world at what you do. You just need to be a few steps ahead of your clients. It's so logical, but it's so hard for a lot of entrepreneurs to accept. And I feel also if you put yourself as a goal to be the greatest in the world, it's so easy to feel overwhelmed. But by taking it one step at a time, you actually will get to that greatness level much faster and with way more ease and being way, I don't know, kinder to yourself. And on to my next question. A lot of times when, you know, business owners hear the word automations or tech, it's cold shivers. They think it will add too much complexity into their business, so they just don't bother altogether. But in your experience, are automations really as complex as a lot of people paint them to be?
It depends, because they can be. You can definitely over-engineer automations. But I like to design automations to remove complexity and add simplicity and space into a business. Because like the way that I look at it, if you look at your house, wherever you are now, you're not seeing an architect's measurements and lines and shapes. You're experiencing what it's like to live here. So it's kind of the same with automations. It's not so much what these automations look like in the back end and how complex they are, but what is the experience of living in your business and can you simplify that? Can you give yourself space and ease? Can you give yourself your time back? And I think that's kind of, for me, what automations do. Like, they can add simplicity. They can remove complexity.
For people hearing this, they're like, okay, I got it. How do they make sure that their automations are not actually doing the exact opposite of what they want them to do? So how do they make sure that their automations are flawless and integrate seamlessly and remove the unnecessary complexity?
When I design automations, I always like to start with the experience first. So often I see that kind of people jump straight into what app should I use? Should I be using this? I saw somebody on Instagram say like, this is the way to go. And I think jumping kind of in the weeds right away is an easy way to add complexity into automations. First, what is the desired outcome? What's your goal? What do you want to happen? And then from there, I kind of map and outline the experience. And this is kind of what I encourage people to do. Not outlining the tech, but it's like, okay, when an inquiry comes in, I want an inquiry to send in an application form. Then I want to be able to read that application form and then approve whether they're a good fit or not. So I really start with this, the people flow, if that makes sense. And when you do start with that, of the time, you will be able, 99% of the time, you'll be able to connect the dots with the tech and you have the tech doing exactly what you need it to without like the bloat.
And when you say you outline people flow first before you outline the tech, from someone, you know, who's very far removed from tech and automations, how do you make sure that the solutions for what you want to do actually exist? Has it ever happened to you that you were like, okay, I want this to happen, and then you ran into a roadblock of like, oh, the tool that would do this does not exist?
Right. My mind is like, if there's a will, there's a way. If there's no way, there's a workaround. Again, 90 to 99% of the time, there will be a way to figure it out. And for the 10-ish percent of time that there is no way to manually do this, maybe I'll automate the reminder to do it instead. or I'll automate a reminder for my VA, and then that reminder has the step-by-step instructions so I don't have to delegate anymore. So there are still ways to simplify the stuff that you have to do manually in case the tech can't do it.
I love that quote. I think I might print it somewhere. If there's a will, there's a way. If there is a way, there's a workaround. I love that. And for business owners listening to this and thinking, okay, well, maybe my company is too small right now for automations. In your experience, is there a right, quote unquote, time to start bringing in automations into a business? Is it waiting until you hit a certain revenue milestone? Is it waiting until you transition from freelancer to an agency status? Or does it really not matter that much?
I believe that there are kind of ways to bring in automations for any size of a business. So, okay, I can see, like, maybe if you're starting out, you're doing client work and you're managing three people at a time. If you're still kind of figuring out your workflows and your processes, it still might make sense to be doing things manually, but that doesn't mean automations can't help. So my first ever automation for myself when I was like a baby in business, and this was back when there was no Zoom yet, it was still Skype, was where a prospect would fill out a form to work together and I would see it. The answers get emailed to me, and my automation created two drafts in my Gmail. One to send if somebody was a good fit and one to send if somebody was not a good fit. So after I read their application form, all I have to do is press the button, you know, send the correct email. It didn't have to be super fancy. It doesn't have to be like a super big workflow. But for me, that saved me typing in something from scratch, you know, even the emotional hemming and hawing of like, oh, no, how do I say this? I created it once and then it's there. One of my beliefs is that, you know, even if you can make something just 15 seconds easier, that's enough to make a big impact in your day-to-day. Those things add up.
Oh, I really like that. It saves you the emotional energy as well. Even if it's just 15 seconds, declining a potential client is surprisingly, well, I don't want to say exhausting, but it tags on your energy. It draws you down a little bit.
You've probably heard by now that selling your own digital offer is the easiest, most effective way to create a new passive income stream for your business and to position yourself as the go-to expert in your niche, all at the same time. And you've probably also heard by now that online course creators are raking in anywhere from 6 to 8 figures of revenue. And the idea sounds enticing to you, but you're just a little bit too overwhelmed as to where you need to start. All this marketing jargon of webinars, funnels, promotional materials, creating your course, actually putting your thoughts into a curriculum seems just a little bit too overwhelming. Well, if that's the case, I got you. I have just created a limited time free training that will help you get a head start on creating and selling your own stellar online course. This free training is gold, if I do say so myself, and has some of the biggest learnings I took away from working on multiple 7-figure courses and marketing and selling offers ranging anywhere from $14 to $20,000. So if you want to find out the most effective strategies and secrets to creating and selling your successful online course, then don't sleep on this offer. Register for the training by following the link in the show notes and watch it before I take it down. Okay, let's jump right back into the podcast.
All throughout our interview and, you know, chatting with you before, looking at your content online, it sticks out to me how human your content and approach to tech and automations is. And in one of your latest posts, I want to stay on it for a little bit longer. You say that, and I quote, "A good system is more about the person than the system." This really resonated with me, but I would love to hear from you. What exactly do you mean by that?
A system has to function in a way that takes into account the people who are using it. You can't have a system without context. You know, it's not floating in the air. You're going to use it. Your team is going to use it. Your customers are going to interact with it, especially if your business is online, right? Your tech is kind of the scaffolding. So for me, the experience of using a system is just as important, or if not more important, than how it functions. You can't take the person out of the equation from when you're designing it. It's not enough for me that it works, but it has to work for you.
And so when you say that, does it mean that there is not a standardized one-fits-all approach to automations? Is it a business-by-business basis? Or would you say there are certain recipes that, let's say, would fit 99% of agencies or 99% of service-based businesses?
Well, I feel like there are kind of big schemas or general principles. Like, these are principles that I can mix and match and make sure like they fit people. Let's talk about like, the thing where if we can't automate it, I can remind you to do the manual part. For some business owners, I've built it so that it sends an email to their VA when it's time to, hey, this person hasn't signed the contract. After reminding them three times, please double check manually. So that's an email that goes out. For other people, they like having a notifications channel in their Slack. Other people don't want to get a notification. They want to see it in their Asana or in their calendar. So that's like multiple ways to apply principles. So those are just kinds of the things that I'm thinking about. I don't know how to talk about a recipe that applies to everyone, but you do have your basic flows. I think when you do look on the internet and you take anybody's course, they'll talk about, you know, maybe your basic welcome email and your delivery emails and all of this. There's nothing wrong with starting out maybe with a template or maybe with or whatever it is that you're learning from whoever it is that you're learning it from. I just kind of want you to know that there are ways to make it work for you. And if you feel like a system doesn't fit right, it doesn't mean that you're wrong or you're doing it wrong. It just might mean that the system's not a good fit. And again, if there's a will, there's a way, there's no way, there's a workaround, there are ways to make it fit you.
I feel like this applies not only to takeout automations, but literally every single business thing you do, be it marketing, promotion, launch systems. There are so many different ways to do one particular thing. There are so many different roads to come from point A to point B. And if one doesn't work, it doesn't mean that it's not meant for you. And you've mentioned principles as well, you know, principles of automation. So could you mention them? What are sort of the cornerstones that you always keep in mind when you design automations?
For me, if it's repeatable, it's automatable. Are you doing something over and over and over again? Are you sending the same contracts out? Are you sending a weekly email out? Are you creating folders for new clients and putting in copies of the same documents? So anything that's happening a lot, anything that you're copy-pasting a lot, it's the bat signal for automations. That's like the number one sign for me that it's time to automate it. The next one for me is start with the outcome and then the flow. So this is something that I mentioned earlier, but I don't dive into the tech first. Always, always the conversation starts with what you want to happen. The next thing is when we're building, I like to build for the experience. And building for the experience means building for yours and theirs, which means like behind the scenes and in front of the scenes. It has to be a great experience for your customers and for your clients for sure. But I also want to make sure that it's a good experience for you too. And then like that you can breathe. And that if something doesn't have to take 37 steps, let's not make it take 37 steps.
And, you know, when you look at companies or freelancers who are diving into automations, or maybe they have been automating for a while, what are some of the most common pitfalls or mistakes that people commit, maybe unknowingly, maybe because they don't know better, maybe because they've been taught something wrongly, or just because they overdo things?
That's one, I think. So one is overdoing it. So just because you can automate that doesn't mean like, you know, you shouldn't. I know this is going against everything I was saying today, but maybe some things have to be kept personal. And for me, it's then let's automate everything else so we can keep the personal. We did a summit last year and it was so important for the client and the team. They wanted to be present in the summit. They wanted to be engaged. They wanted to enjoy it. Part of the work there was, can we automate as much as we can on the back end, because it was a very, very small team, but so that this team could be in the chat, so that this team could be talking with the participants, so that we could make it feel in the middle of a pandemic that at least for 5 days we were all together again. So that's one. I guess, and the other thing is diving straight into the tech without thinking first of what you want the tech to do. So it's so easy. I am very, very guilty of this, shiny object syndrome. It's like, aha, but so-and-so is using that one and so-and-so is using that one. Or should I be using this other thing? I try to temper myself. And the way that I do, I temper myself is by going back to, okay, let's start with the experience. Let's write it down. What do I want to happen? And from there, it'll become clear, like, what kind of tech that you want. It's not the sexiest way to go about it. It really is nice to jump into all these different apps and platforms. But doing that sometimes makes it harder to tie the experience together. That's when things get like janky and like duct tape, because people are diving into like these tech platforms that don't do what they needed to do and now are tumbling and gymnasticking their way into trying to make it work.
Oh, and I love that you mentioned the tools here, because it actually ties in into my next question. So whilst we definitely don't want people to jump tech in first, we've learned that. But still, for someone who has, you know, laid out their desired outcome, their desired automation, they know what their people flow is, how do they go about finding the right tools? Do you have your favorites? What kind of costs are we looking at? What sort of tools do you prefer?
Me personally, two of my favorite tools are Zapier and ActiveCampaign. Only because on my end, the way that I think, it's like those two are like, if you can think it, you can automate it. Zapier, ActiveCampaign, and even Google Suite, right? You can do so much with those with those three. There's so much to play. But this is the corny answer, but it depends. So for example, so I might not recommend ActiveCampaign for someone who doesn't need or want or is planning to do like these complicated flows, because ActiveCampaign doesn't have, I'm sorry, ActiveCampaign, the best UX. It's laggy, it's hard to add emails in. And if you're somebody who's like, I just want a place to be writing newsletters every week to my clients, I'm not holding webinars, that's not in my plans, maybe I'll say, how about ConvertKit? You know, the writing experience there is great, it's very fast, and if there are features that you're not going to use, you don't need to get them just in case. So yeah, I guess that's my personal is ActiveCampaign, Zapier, and Google Suite, but it's always going to depend.
Oh, I was anticipating Zapier. It's such a classic and very so much so in a world of online courses. I mean, there are all-in-one tools becoming more prominent in this space, but I remember working on multiple courses and Zapier was really like the holy grail holding all of the automation systems together. Everything depended on it. I mean, to be fair, they are doing quite an amazing job at creating amazing automations. But Mikli, for someone who's listening to this podcast and is like, wow, I'm all in. I want to automate my business. I want to reduce complexity, but they don't want to DIY it all by themselves. How can they work with you? What do you help your clients with? And what kind of services do you offer?
Ah, thank you. At the biggest end of the spectrum, I have done for you tech and automation services. So we'll talk about what you want to happen, and then you leave it to me. I'll design how everything looks like, build it, test it, and then we launch it together. If you have a team of implementers, let's say you have a tech VA, but you don't know how you want the things to look like, I do have an automation strategy and mapping VIP day. So that's, let's say, let's take your onboarding flow or your discovery flow, the onboarding to offboarding is like, I need this to be easier, but how? Then during our VIP day, I'll map that out for you. And then I'll give your VA a plan that they can like step-by-step build to create all of those integrations. And then the other thing is, if you do have like quick tech questions, need help troubleshooting, or want to do a consult, I do also have a consultation hour that's available. So those are the three main ways to work with me. Done for you, VIP day, and a consult call.
Awesome. And for people who would like to stay in touch with you online, what is the best way to find you?
Yes, I am on Instagram at HeyMikli, and my website is heymikli.com. Please send me a message on Instagram. That's how Anastasia and I met. I'm so happy to connect with you there. Yeah.
Awesome. Mikli, thank you so much for this conversation. I definitely learned a lot, and I'm sure that our podcast listeners did as well.
Thank you. Thank you so much for having me. This was so much fun.
Wow. This episode was really filled with actionable takeaways. And I'm wondering, what was your biggest insight as you listened to this episode? Make sure to tag me in yours on your Instagram stories or DM me with what you've taken away from this podcast. I'd love to learn what you found the most interesting. And if you have suggestions for any future episodes or would like me to cover a certain topic, then definitely message me as well. And until I see you next time, bye.